Who are you really? Sure, we know what our human names are. Jean, Shirley, James. I could list us all out like the host of Romper Room, but I'll spare us. But who are we really? We don't usually think too much about this until we find ourselves in a jam that appears to trip us up, some sort of trouble. It could be something relatively minor, like a parking ticket, for example. Or it could be something major, a lawsuit, a divorce, a serious illness, a cancer. And you know, when that trouble starts, we do call out for God. We may say something like the Benedictine monks who would say, God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. In fact, that is the prayer that they usually use to start their morning office. Notice, though, how they don't wait for trouble. They practice it daily, trouble or not. But I take issue slightly with the monks because they inject in that sense of separation from God. For they call on God to come and aid, as if God were some distance off. That would be the literal interpretation. A more metaphysical, and I would say accurate one, would be to realize that they, the monks that is, are calling on the higher power within themselves. And the cry out for God, as if God were off doing something else, is nothing more than a dramatic construct, a way for communing within ourselves and realizing our human mind and our human abilities alone are not only not sufficient, but they are not by any means all that there is. In fact, they may not even be any sort of objective reality at all, although our minds tell us that they are. Indeed, it cannot be reality. There cannot be anything that could or would harm us, for we have shown ourselves time and time again that we have the ability to change our circumstances and surroundings. And given that we have done so in the past, that is proof positive to me that the things that we think are real and permanent, the conditions that we think are real and permanent, life-threatening even, are not so at all. If they were, we would have no power to change, and that isn't so, and I can prove it to you. Go back in your mind now, 30 years or so. Go back to 1989. Think about where you were living. Who were you living with? What were you doing to occupy your days? Now, snap back to the current moment and compare. Is it the same? Do you still live there with that same person? Are the furnishings exactly the same? I'll bet not. The personal computer and the internet communication systems we have today were barely coming into day-to-day use. They were not commonplace, if they existed at all. There was no Wi-Fi connection, and the phone, well, that was hardwired into the wall. Some still had a rotary dial attached to it. So you see, not only is change possible, change is indeed the norm. Changes occurred through consciousness. Individually, we thought of a plan and acted it out. Collectively, new inventions were created and brought into the marketplace. Our conditions changed through consciousness, both individual and collective. Okay, you say, but right now, I have created a large error on the job, let's say. And I'm going to face consequences and lose my job and perhaps my career. How can my divine reality help in that situation? Well, the very fact that you've come to this church weekly and listened to messages of this nature has opened your consciousness to the notion that you are divine, nothing can harm you, and you indeed can do something about it. God is with you, and nothing can harm you. Watch the action between God and Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to withstand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto fathers to give them. Be strong and courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Moses, Joshua, these are our human ancestors. If God is always with them, surely he is always with us. Moses, Joshua, they are individualized expressions of God. And as they are our ancestors, then so are we individualized expressions of God. Our Moses nature brings us to freedom. Freedom from the adverse conditions that seem to bind us. Freedom from the definition of ourselves as merely workers on a job. That job and any mistakes we might have made cannot hurt us, no more so than could Pharaoh or his army have hurt Moses and the people. For deep down in our collective consciousness, we know almost intuitively, as it is wedded to us, we are individualized expressions of God. The omnipresence of God means God is present here and now in all form and is the very substance of our being. Paul Tillich would call it the ground of our being. God is our job. God is our livelihood. God is our substance. And we are always pleasing to God. This belief must be brought to the surface and recognized in our current way of thinking, moving, and having our being. Do not let it sit quiet and dormant. Bring that recognition forth. We are always pleasing in the sight of God. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Fanny B. James, in Truth and Health, expresses this concept beautifully in her chapter entitled Being and Expression. She says, there is no new truth, but the divine that is with us always. It may seem a strange voice when it is first given a hearing, where it proclaims the reality of what man is, was, and ever shall be. As the statements of true consciousness are heeded and lived earnestly, the true idea of life is perceived and consciously possessed. Truth includes and solves all things. It reveals power, unlimited, as man's birthright. Yet power that results from understanding, born of love, guided by wisdom. Such was Jesus's power. Hence, he never sought personal glory. The problems, the solutions, the things we do, and at the end find that we have gotten ourselves out of, that was God's work through us, not ours, and we were not doing it for personal glory, but to fulfill our demonstration as God's perfect child in whom he is well pleased. Let's bring these lofty concepts back now to our hypothetical man on the job who has just committed an error. He thinks he has erred. He thinks his boss will fire him. He thinks his career is over. Are these not human opinions? Ms. James writes, if he chooses human opinions of good or ill, that conception will seem true, and he will experience all that such belief imposes upon him, all the ill effects he thinks that are coming. And so if he changes his belief and chooses and refuses to accept any human opinions of good or ill, he can change his circumstances. Ms. James writes further, man has been taught to believe himself subject to ills, to fear ills, and to try to rid himself of these by use of external means. This is inversion of perfect law. Within is all cause. Destroy fear of ill, and most of the work is done. Destroy the belief of ill conditions, and the work is finished. Now, armed with this new toolbox, it is apparent that our hypothetical man on the job who's committed an error merely needs to control his belief system. Let him forget that there is any human opinion that has any control or influence over his situation. If he can change his beliefs to remember that human opinions do not count, would he not be capable of destroying the fear? And if he destroys the fear, he's almost home in terms of changing the circumstances. For once the fear has been destroyed, he's then free to address whether or not he should believe that his human condition would actually be threatened by another's human opinion of himself or his work. Having satisfied himself that his own destiny, his own livelihood is solely within his own hands, why then he would no longer fear what has happened on the job, nor would he be subject to its condition. And in just that instant, when his belief system has changed, he will find that his conditions have changed accordingly. Do you still think this is too fanciful? Well, I can assure you it is not. Earlier this summer, I was confronted with a job situation that absolutely appeared to be threatening. It was so threatening, I could not even bring myself to read the adverse pleadings that had been filed against my client and myself. But once I was able to handle the fear and came to believe that nothing in those papers could harm me, nothing in those papers could harm my livelihood, nothing in those papers could harm my career choice or my conditions, well, I was then free to address the problem at hand. And once I viewed it and realized that there was no real problem, just a perception, I was able to come up with the solution and walked both me and my client through the fiery furnace and into the resolution. And the very instant I was able to release myself from the false notion that this could harm me, I was saved, healed, if you will. Looking back on the situation, it was apparent the only thing I did was change my belief about the situation. Frankly, I had reached into and touched the divine nature within. I realized that I did enjoy and I did live in a state of divine reality. That divine reality was my true state of being. The rest and remainder were merely appearances. It might be hubris, but I'm going to say it anyway. The physician had healed himself. Now, this happened to Moses. The story is actually an internal one in consciousness. He saw that his identity had been attached to his physical body, to the enjoyment of the fruits of being an emperor's son, albeit an adopted one. But still, he had all the benefits of royalty nonetheless. And of course, as we know, he was the one who witnessed one of his own being beaten by the very empire that he had become adopted to and accustomed to, and whose fruits and benefits he enjoyed. Adopting a sense of oneness with the person being beaten, he could no longer allow his physical sense of self to control. He detached and he left, depicted as him wandering off into the countryside. He was freed of all of his feelings from the false human condition, and he brought it to the divine, his true reality. And it was there, wandering, that he found his true reality was the I am of the burning bush that is never consumed. He brought all of his physical senses to the promised land and ultimately created our ancestral inheritance and consciousness. For we now go to the I am within to be released from human conditions. Job was taught the same lesson, and his comments are these: I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth me. Jesus had been tempted to fall prey to human conditions too. And look how he handled it. And let's watch closely now as we go through the passage of his being tempted three times by the devil. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. In other words, do a magic trick. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You see, Jesus knew that spiritual nourishment was the point. And the devil, taking him up unto a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. So if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now let's stop and think about that for a second. Isn't that the trap we modern Americans have fallen for and fall for it all the time? Don't we? When we pay more attention to our career, potential promotions on the job, money in the bank, retirement accounts, material success, we've fallen into that trap. Watch Jesus's answer. The trap, by the way, is that we've ignored our divine reality and we think that external conditions can help us. Watch Jesus's answer. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Translation, pay attention to your divine reality within. The external effects come and go. And he brought him then finally to Jerusalem, the devil did, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, and he's quoting from the Psalms, by the way, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You know, we're tempted all of the time to passively sit by and say, things look bad. I don't have to do a thing. God will take care of me. God will take care of the situation. God will not take care of us without us doing the work. Why? Because God is our divine reality. The problems are there for us to demonstrate our spiritual solutions. God works through us, as us, but not for us. So Jesus cannot succumb to the temptation and say, okay, I can jump. God will take care of me, because that's a false promise. And Jesus answered him and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. Notice those words, because it is only for a season. For the devil, that voice that says, pay attention to human conditions, it always returns. And the lesson is to follow the path of Scripture, of your own inner divine reality. You can overcome this. You can and you must ignore conditions that focus on divine causes. Focus on the divine causes that emanate from within. Ignore the conditions that appear to present themselves as problems, difficulties, and even good things. And you can do it. You can do what Jesus did. You can do what Moses did. You can do what Job did. You can do the same thing right now. All you need to do is release yourself from the belief that any human condition can at all ever help you or harm you. And remember, don't fall prey to the things that can help you. They are just as bad. Release your belief that you rise to the levels of power in the workplace, or that you can succumb to job loss, the exact opposite. Release the belief that you can obtain wild riches as well as be subject to poverty. Same difference. Release the belief that you can have infinite, abundant physical health and yet succumb to cancer, or even the ultimate penalty, death. Those things cannot harm you. They could never harm you, for you are divine. We should take a few minutes now to rest and contemplate and make this lesson practical. So let's close our eyes. Let's take in one or two cleansing breaths and just relax. For if you want to learn more about and get in touch with your true nature, it is in this stillness. It is in this silence. Quiet all the noise around you. You are who you are. What you are is so loud, I cannot hear what you say. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That is where your divine reality is. That is your refuge and your fortress. It will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You will not be afraid. There shall no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling place. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He has called you by name. A long, prosperous, and healthy life is yours. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, and he will give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and former is. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name.
Go in peace and recall always your divine reality. Have a blessed week.